Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. I am old enough to remember 1965. That was a time when the Jews had just begun their radical restructuring of our society. They'd already tricked us into two disastrous world wars in which we fought against our own best interests. They'd used us to take Germans and Italians and Hungarians and others, including Russians who didn't want communism, and slaughter them by the millions. They cynically used our troops to impose communism on half of Europe. And remember, at that time, the Soviet Union had the death penalty for anyone convicted of the crime of anti-Semitism. Then, in the post-war period, they dismembered and destroyed the British and French empires, too, even though those two nations were supposedly victors in the last World War. The U.S. was counted as a victor, too. American military power had never been greater. American weaponry was supreme. American bases literally circled the globe, and still do. But America, like Britain and France and Germany and pre-Soviet Russia, was a white nation, run largely by white people for white people. We had citizenship laws in place, beginning with the Naturalization Act of 1790, which restricted the granting of American citizenship to white people only. We had immigration laws in effect, which ensured that the percentage of the white population would get larger and larger with each passing year, and which by 1965 had already succeeded in making the United States whiter than she had ever been before in her history, well over 90% white. And white birth rates were more than high enough to keep things that way. But the real victor of World War II was the Jewish power structure. It was they who had tricked the white nations into slaughtering each other. It was they who had taken down Russia in 1917. It was they who cynically used the other white nations to destroy National Socialist Germany, a nation which had made the welfare and progress of the race the central tenet of its purpose as a state. It was they who manipulated the ruling classes in Britain and France to dismember their empires and open their borders to the Third World in the 1950s. By 1965, that same power structure decided it was time to take down America. And take her down they did. Abrogating our race-based citizenship laws, striking down our laws against racial mixture, and repealing our pro-white immigration laws and opening our borders. That was also the time of the sexual revolution, promoted by the same power structure. The sexual revolution was designed to confuse our normal, healthy mating and reproduction patterns and replace them as much as possible with dysfunctional perversions. Witness the rampant promotion of loveless, empty sex, of homosexuality and transgender insanity, and innumerable other perversions, of pornography, and of wildly misnamed feminism, all designed to reduce our birth rate to zero or negative numbers. Killing a people or an entire race is an extraordinarily difficult task. Most normal people find the idea repugnant and bizarre. Most of us would call it genocide. But if someone, say a wealthy and powerful group with tremendous resources and group loyalty and cohesion, were to attempt genocide, what techniques might be used with success? What does a people need to survive? Answer that question and then figure out a way to deny the requisites of survival, and you have successfully killed a people. To survive, a people needs 1. The will to survive, including a sense of their own self-worth and a burning desire that their offspring will prosper and continue their bloodlines into the future. 2. To survive, a people needs exclusive territory, both for living space and for the sustenance the land gives them, food, water, and all the minerals, plants, and other things needed for strength and life on planet Earth. 3. To survive, a people needs a healthy sexuality, which includes not only an ardent interest in procreating with the opposite sex, but a dedication to making a strong family unit with your mate, and all the nurturing needed for the successful raising of the next generation of children of your kind. 4. To survive, a people needs its own government. There is no way around this requirement. If a government is not of your people, it will not be for your people. Change the size of government as you will, and that is important. Change the form of government as you will, and that is important too. But far beyond the importance of size, far beyond the importance of structure, nothing is as important as whose government it is. If it represents your people and is constituted of your people, then there is a good chance it will represent your interests as a people. But if it is constituted by another people, then the interests of that other people will come first. And when the interests of that other people conflict with yours, as in the fullness of time they surely will, your people will be left without protection, without defense, and ultimately without life itself, without existence. If, quote-unquote, your government is constituted of a mishmash of different peoples clamoring for power in a multiracial, multicultural society, which is the state form that America and most of the West are now being forced into by the Jewish supremacists, then your government will be paralyzed, unable to oppose the interests of any organized special interest group with a substantial number of votes under its control. Only two forces can overcome such paralysis: the will of a powerful racially conscious majority, or the power of money. The powers that be prefer that the latter rule us, as the former would quickly lead to an end to their precious multiracialism. 5. And lastly, to survive, a people needs a way to transmit its values, its sense of identity, its history, and its traditions to its members, especially the next generation of its children, and to the generation beyond that, and so on into eternity. Here we are talking about not only a system of formal education, but about the mass media of news, entertainment, and information of every kind. There are other necessities, but they would mostly be subsumed under these, the most basic and essential ones. Let me recapitulate. To survive, every people needs 1. The will to survive as a distinct people. 2. Its own exclusive territory. 3. A healthy sexuality. 4. Its own government. And 5. Control of its own education system and its own media. It is my contention that a very strange and extremely hateful group, the Jewish supremacists, are now working and have been working for decades to deny white people each and every one of the 5 necessities detailed above. In short, they are doing everything in their power to exterminate us. Their hate may be fanatically directed at whites, but other races as well have been their victims. Think of the Palestinians. Think of the Iranians. Through the institutions and the media they control, the Jewish supremacists work steadily to deny white people a sense of self-worth and identity. Some extremist Jews openly call for the end of the white race, and some deny that white people even exist as a distinct people. Most are more clever, however, and work assiduously to inculcate feelings of guilt and shame in white people, promoting the ideas that whites are uniquely responsible for slavery, that white racism is the main cause of non-whites failing to achieve, and similar tripe. Both claims are utterly false. Jews were very prominent as slave traders, as were blacks and Amerindians, who sold their own people into slavery again and again, and were almost always the ones who traded flesh for silver when the slave traders arrived. In fact, it was whites who were the first to abolish the institution of human slavery. In fact, slavery still exists in black Africa today. And the most degrading slavery of all, the sex slavery of white women, still exists in Israel and in other areas under the influence of Jewish organized crime. And very little is said about it. And it is whites who have achieved the greatness of our civilization. We did this through hard work and our innate gifts of intelligence, character, and creativity. The biological differences between the races fully account for the relative lack of achievement of some peoples, and the bogey of white racism as a reason for black and mestizo failure is just a guilt-inducing fraud. Nevertheless, it is whites who are constantly bashed on the screen and in the classroom as oppressors. It is whites who must eternally atone for every real and imagined sin dreamed up by Hollywood scriptwriters and prostituted academics, who these days often collaborate in their hate-whitey guilt fests. Is it any wonder, then, that suicide is at an all-time high among white teens, or that white teens have so little sense of their own identity and worth that they are degrading themselves by becoming sexually involved with non-whites, an association which often leads to disease and death in greater and greater numbers every year? What about our own exclusive territory? Something which every people needs in order to survive. Jewish supremacists have been in the advance guard of pushing for a multiracial, multicultural society. It was a prominent establishment Jew, Emanuel Seller, who was the primary author of our open borders immigration policy. Another prominent Jew, Earl Robb of the Institute of Jewish Advocacy, was quite open about denying whites their own territory here in America. He stated, quite frankly, that opening our borders and making white Americans a minority among many minorities was good for Jews. What Rob is saying is that Jews feel more comfortable as a minority when there are lots of other minorities around. They don't feel comfortable when a country consists almost entirely of one people, with one culture and a common identity. Jews stick out like a sore thumb then. People might notice them and their behavior more. So to solve the problem of white Americans having their own country, Jews have arranged for us to be swamped by non-whites. And Rob is crowing about the fact that they've taken our country away from us. Preventing whites from doing anything about our dispossession, preventing us from even thinking about our own survival as a people, preventing us from undoing what Rob and his ilk have done to us, is the real reason the controlled media treat white racialists as if they are evil incarnate, and treat black and brown racialists like they are heroes. And what of a healthy sexuality? Jews have been leaders in the feminist movement, which has sought to, one, place a wedge between white men and white women, causing them to look upon one another as enemies rather than as partners, and which has, two, denigrated the value of motherhood and the nurturing of children, trying to inspire women to look down upon the most honorable and, may I say, sacred and joyful task we know of in the entire universe, while at the same time promoting the idea of killing the white child in the womb as one of the quote-unquote most sacred rights possessed by women to be defended at all costs. Before the sexual revolution, it was that same white child who we all believed was to be defended at all costs. What a change. What an horrific, frightening, inhuman change. The sexual revolution and its concomitant pornography of every description have resulted in a lot of sexual activity, to be sure, but not the kind of sexual activity that leads to the birth of white children. The sexual activity of the supposedly prudish old America of the 1940s, and even the supposedly ultra-prudish 1800s, resulted in that most precious of nature's gift, a real and substantial increase in the number of white children, far beyond replacement level. The increase of white children in the 19th century allowed us to expand to conquer this and other continents for our posterity, and allowed the rearing of the hard workers and geniuses who created the modern technological world we enjoy today. The increase of white children in the middle part of the 20th century cemented our majority on this continent to the point that by 1965, America was whiter than she had ever been, setting the stage for great achievements like the exploration of space and computer science. But that same year saw an increase of perverse sexuality that has not ceased to this day, to the point where now in many jurisdictions the same sanction of society given to the loving sexual union of a man and a woman is now given to perverts. Every kind of sexual satisfaction is paraded before and sold to a benumbed population who cannot help liking sex. But by and large, the kinds of sexual activity promoted are those which do not lead to the birth of the next generation. We see this in the promotion of homosexuality, in the promotion of every kind of sick fetish, including those that involve violence and horrible degradation, in the overall cheapening of sex, from the most beautiful and sacred thing imaginable, next to the child that is its result, into the sleaziest and dirtiest thing imaginable, and in the coming horror of the normalization of sexual abuse of children. Jewish supremacists have been among the leaders in the sick pornography industry and the fashionable media that promote such trends, and they have also been in the forefront of the legalization and normalization of perversion. Ask yourself, what kind of a group would dehumanize the members of a race or people? What kind of a group would teach children that their own people did not even exist, or were especially evil and did not deserve to exist? What kind of a group would teach children that their own people did not deserve their own territory or their own government, and that striving for such things was the ultimate in evil? What kind of a group would teach children that sexual perversion, and that particularly foul kind of sexual perversion, which is interracial sex, was good and desirable, even when the evidence shows that these activities increase the likelihood of horrible disease and death, and to say nothing of genocide. What kind of people would promote the idea that men should, quote-unquote, marry men, or women women, or that young people should believe that they are the opposite sex and then surgically mutilate their sexual organs so they can never have a child? What kind of people would do those things? That question can be answered very simply. They are killers, and they are haters of the worst sort. We white people are not hateful, as a rule. We are able to fight hard when we believe the cause is right, but on the whole, we are the kindest-hearted, fairest-minded, and tender-hearted people to ever walk the face of the earth. Hate does not usually motivate us. But we can be motivated by love. Love for what is beautiful. Love for what is noble. Love for what is infinitely valuable in this world. Seeing our uniquely beautiful and creative race and what it can become as infinitely valuable is the kind of consciousness we need to build among our people. To fight this evil, so that our society can change for the better, so that it can begin serving its real purposes again. A society that tries to serve many races at once will quickly become non-functional and die, just as a cell which tries to serve the purpose of invading viral DNA as well as its own will not be long for this earth. But we racially conscious whites are disorganized, confused, and weak. The enemy who has stolen our nations from us and who is destroying them and the minds of our young people 24 hours every day, 7 days every week, is strong and wealthy and uses that wealth to control the regime that rules over us. In order to defeat that enemy, a dedication and a willingness to sacrifice anything, if need be, even life itself, is needed. A willingness to die so that future generations might live is needed. Only thus can we leverage our knowledge and our numbers into a force for victory. Only a total, all-encompassing new value system can achieve that goal. Only a value system which ranks the survival and advancement of our race as the highest values can inspire the actions we need to prevail. And we must prevail. Only the National Alliance brings us that value system. Only the National Alliance makes those values the center of our very lives and can bring our truth and our race to victory. Only the National Alliance teaches our people the essential truth that nature and nature's God require our racial survival and upward evolution for the culmination of the purpose of the universe itself. After 50 years of hate from the Jewish supremacists, it is time to fight back. It is time to join the National Alliance. Let's make today, the first day of spring 2015, the beginning of a new springtime for our people. And as we do so, let us remember the words of the theme music of this program, the choral arrangement of Finlandia by Jan Sibelius, called On Lone Far Hills, and I quote, on great lone hills where tempests brood and gather, primeval earth against primeval sky, we, faring forth, possessed by fervent longing, have found a throne eternal and high, have knelt at last in wordless adoration till fire and whirlwind have both gone by. With ardent song we greet the golden morning, by faith upborne, remember not the night. The whole wide world triumphant hails the dawning, God walks abroad in garments of might. The hills, behold, are now a path of splendor, transfigured all, and all crowned with light. All hills, behold, and all crowned with light. Those of us who know the truths taught by the National Alliance understand the real meanings of those words. We know now what eternity and nature's God and the new dawn are really all about. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com, that's NATALL.com, or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to do right and fear no one.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Out to the skies, we will now have.